You're listening to MLB.com Extras, brought to you by MLB.tv. It's baseball everywhere.
Welcome to MLB.com Extras, the Los Angeles Angels of Anaheim. I'm Richard Justice of MLB.com. I'm joined by Alvin Gonzalez, who covers the Angels for MLB.com. Had a couple of great pieces this week on the website. Alvin, I want to start by asking you about your midway report. The second base job now, as we enter the meat and bones of spring training, completely wide open still, huh? Nobody has taken the position and run with it yet, huh?
No, not really. And, you know, Richard, as I stated on there, I'm not really sure if that's a good thing. I think that Josh Rutledge is the favorite for the job. He came in with the most experience. He's been the guy who's been always working out with the everyday guys. He was the guy the Angels wanted to trade for. Granted, they initially wanted him as a utility infielder because they had Howie Kendrick at the time. But I think of the four of them competing, he has the most experience, and I think they're going to give him the first crack. But I don't, you know, my stance on second base hasn't really changed since the beginning. I feel like either a lot of people are going to end up playing second base, and the Angels are just going to go with matchups or whoever's hot, or they're going to trade for somebody. I wouldn't be surprised either way. I'm not sure if they're going to actually go out and try to trade for somebody now. Seems like they really want to give this mix a shot first. And plus, you know, there's not that many teams looking to part ways with pieces before the season even starts. So it's not like it's a dire situation or anything like that. The Angels were never expecting to replicate Howie Kendrick's production there. But, you know, none of the guys have really stuck out. I guess maybe not in a bad way, not in a good way. Rutledge hasn't really hit yet. Grant Green has struggled a little bit defensively. Johnny Giovatella is just still trying to find his way. Taylor Featherston's actually looked pretty good. He's the guy that they picked up in the Rule 5. But he's kind of being groomed as a utility guy, and he hasn't played above AA yet. So that part of it is pretty significant.
And I wanted to ask you about the rotation. I think we think Garrett Richards will be back in mid-April. When he's back, do the Angels want both Andrew Haney and Nick Tropiano to be starters in the minor leagues, if not the major leagues? Or would one of those guys be a bullpen option?
I don't think there's any chance that one of those guys is a bullpen option. The big thing about the Angels this year is they have starting pitching depth. They want to preserve that starting pitching depth. And, you know, once you move one of those young guys to the bullpen, you lose that depth automatically. You lose that length with them. They're no longer options for you in the rotation because they're not stretched out like starting pitchers. And, I mean, I think you're just really setting them up to fail, too. You're stunning their growth. They've never had experience in the bullpen. There's no doubt that both of them are going to stay stretched out, whether it's in AAA or in the major leagues. And I think when Garrett Richards comes back, the Angels are going to have a big decision. Just thinking ahead here, I know we're jumping the gun a little bit, but it looks like they're going to have a pretty big decision to make with regards to Hector Santiago. Do they keep him in the rotation and send either Andrew Heaney or Tropiano down to AAA? Do they move him to the bullpen where he's kind of a redundant piece because the Angels already have a lefty who gives you length out of the bullpen and Cesar Ramos? Or do you use him as trade bait? I mean, I really wouldn't be surprised with any of those three scenarios. That's going to be a big decision. I think the good thing for the Angels is it looks like they're not going to have to make that decision until about the middle of April because they're still easing Garrett through his rehab process.
Now, you're a guy that has seen Mike Trout virtually every game of his career. And even you are impressed with what you've seen this spring. He's hitting, wait for it, 545.
Is that good, Richard? That's good, right?
Go ahead and just say something about Mike Trout that you haven't said before. It's just amazing.
Yeah, I mean, you know, he hasn't really skipped the beat at all. You know, it's funny. Everybody kept talking about, oh, is he gonna cut down the strikeouts? Is he gonna steal more bases? Well, there you have it, folks. He has as many steals as strikeouts so far. So, what else do you want from Mike Trout? What more do you want Mike Trout to you? Whatever you want, he'll deliver and he'll do it for you.
it's just incredible.
Yeah, it is. And you know what? Everybody always talks about how spring training numbers don't really mean anything. And you know what? To a certain extent, that's true. But I'm of the belief that good hitters hit no matter what time of year it is. And if you look back at Albert Pujols' career, every spring training, he was off the chart. Did that mean anything? No. It was just an indication that he's just a good hitter. And it doesn't matter what time of year it is. It doesn't matter if he just got out of bed or what. He's going to hit. Mike Trout is going to hit. I'm still going to be really interested when the season starts and guys start trying to expose his weakness again in terms of giving him those fastballs chest high. He's been working on that in the batting cage, mostly with the tee. They have a tee here that they pretty much set up for high pitches for Mike Trout, just so that, you know, he gets a feel for where that pitch is located, how his swing has to be. That's been one of his focuses this spring, because he knows that once the season starts again, they're going to start pitching him up again. You know, I don't think guys are giving away the game plan in spring training about how they're going to attack him. When the season starts, he could expect those rising fastballs again, and he's going to have to either lay off them or find a way to drive those pitches.
Yeah. Excuse me, Aldo. When he asked this of Felix Hernandez a couple of days ago, and like, you feel stupid asking the question because the guy's almost perfect, but other than the strikeouts and the high fastball, and that's a big deal, obviously, were there parts of his game that he still feels he can get better at?
I think the only part of Mike, because look, we'll go stolen bases first. I don't think that's an element of Mike Trout's game that needs to improve. You talk to some guys, they would prefer to not have Mike Trout steal many bases. I talked to Tim Salmon about this. That's a lot of wear and tear, you know, for a guy who plays center field already, who's relied on so much. It exerts a lot of energy to constantly steal bases. It sets yourself up for injury. There's a lot of guys that prefer that Mike Trout not steal as many bases. And I think the fact that he has so little is actually an indication of his maturity, because he still steals them at a high rate. He only goes when the timing is on his side, and he only goes when he's almost sure that he's going to pick up a bag. That's a huge sign of maturity from a young player. You see a lot of young guys who have speed get caught stealing all the time, and Mike Trout doesn't fall into that. I think the one thing that Mike Trout is still feeling his way towards is just his approach at the plate. And, you know, you've seen it. You could see it when he's hitting, and you see it in what he talks about. I think he's still fighting himself about when to be aggressive early in counts. And I think that's something that he's trying to feel his way through again this spring, is when to jump on that first pitch fastball, when to take a pitch. Mike Trout's a great two-strike hitter. He's comfortable hitting with two strikes. He's got a nice short swing. But he was in two-strike counts, I want to say off the top of my head, probably the fifth most times of anybody in baseball last year. When you're constantly hitting with two strikes, that's when you're setting yourself up for strikeouts. And I feel like the one thing that Mike Trout's still trying to figure out is, when am I going to be aggressive early in counts? When am I going to jump on the first pitch? And, you know, so far this spring, he's kind of made more of an effort to be aggressive early. And he feels like even if he doesn't make good contact on that first pitch and just fouls it off, it kind of sets himself up for the rest of the at-bat mentality-wise. I guess it just creates an aggressive approach that he feels like is helping him out so far. But Richard, he's 23 years old. He's still learning his strike zone. He's still learning about who he is as a hitter. And, you know, the only difference between Mike Trout and everybody else is that while he's going through that process, he's still the best player in the game.
Yeah, you know, I got to see Cal Ripken and Eddie Murray play every day at the height of their career. And when it's over, you feel lucky. I mean, he's one of those guys that you're going to be able to tell people, I saw one of the great players that ever walked on the field. And it's a pretty special thing. Great stuff, Alvin, as always. And we'll talk to you soon. Thanks.
MLB.TV Premium, the number one live streaming sports service, is now available. Watch over 250 spring training games and every regular season game live or on demand in true HD. MLB.TV Premium includes a free At-Bat 15 subscription, allowing you to watch live baseball on over 400 mobile and connected devices, every night on every device. Visit MLB.TV for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply.